Did you inherit $1 million from your grandparent, or are you about to become wealthy from someone else's hard work? If you say yes to these questions, this show is not for you. You, the hardworking, committed, and ambitious professional who have a 9-to-5 corporate job or a 12-hour shift worker keeping the assembly line running. Perhaps you run your gig as a freelancer, or maybe you run a small business. You are in the right place. Welcome to the Career Evangelist Podcast, where you get your weekly tips, ideas, strategies, and inspiration to find purpose in what you do so you can build a career you are passionate about and live a fulfilled life. Here is your host, Vola Alabi.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another fantastic edition of the Career Evangelist Podcast. Today, we are privileged to have a special guest with us. He's an awesome guy. So we have Thomas Elfrich, also called AI Nerd. We are going to be asking him about that name, by the way. Thomas is a technology guru, business innovator, and CEO of Instantly Relevant. I love that name. So this guy, by using a combination of emerging AI technology and expert human insights, his company has been able to help founders, entrepreneurs, and startups earn more traffic and tap into new revenue streams. So we are going to be asking him about that. Thomas is a member of Forbes Technology Council and is a contributor at Entrepreneurship Leadership Network. Hey, Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me this afternoon.
So
it's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Okay, that's awesome. So I know I did a little bit of intro, but my audience, they would like to hear from you. They want to know you. So who is Thomas?
I feel like I'm like any other, entrepreneur, business owner out there that, trying to find their way to find customers and serve the customers they have, to balance life, balance, the onslaught of entrepreneurial thoughts that go through your head from, why am I doing this, to this is the greatest thing on earth, to I wouldn't do anything else, to, oh my gosh, I need a job, all within, the early morning hours of a day, right? And so like that cycle. So I'm like anybody else, but maybe a flyby on that one would be, I'm kind of born out of the dot-com era. So that puts me, I think, Gen X. But I remember myself to be a better developer than I was, for sure. But I always spoke well about technology. So that took me on this kind of consulting advisory path of a career. And in the last 10 years or so, really developed a high expertise around intelligent automation and AI systems, and specifically of how you do that to automate a process with a human-led interaction that accelerates a human instead of kind of replaces them. So leveraging technology, the right technology, right moment, right person to accelerate the process, to accelerate the human, so you can get more done and be more effective. Those are the principles I applied when I started instantlyrelevant.com and to the marketing, specifically lead generation space, where you can get a ton more leads and generate business by leveraging technology correctly without losing the human touch and brand and all the things you need with it. But that's the very, very fast version of that.
Awesome. Instantly Relevant. So tell us what you do at Instantly Relevant.
I mean, just that we find leads for customers. Primarily, most of our customers, they need a handful of things. Typically, it's a social media channel. Most often, it's LinkedIn. They need websites and landing pages. So they need people to, check them out and be happy to go land somewhere and give them their information. And then they need a lot of content created. So we manage that entire piece. When companies hire us, they get a full marketing team, lead generation and strategist, and it's less than a full-time hire. And we do that so you can have all the power you need without having to have, full-time employment on your books. We charge it month to month. We make it very easy, but at the end of the day, we help you find leads, either it be B2C or B2B, because that's what's important to you. And that's the whole point of marketing.
No, that's awesome. So you started by talking about balance, and with what you do, I know you are going to be a very busy entrepreneur. So how do you find balance with your personal life and your business life? Tom.
I didn't say I did. I said I should.
Should.
You know, like,
so that, there's a difference. So yeah, how should we get that balance? Right. Let's talk about that.
You should. So, you know, here are the things I've struggled with, and then I always try is trying to make sure I make time to go exercise, like those kind of things. That's number one. The man with his health has 1,000 dreams, but the man without his health has only but one. And if you've ever had like a, you know, a health scare of, you know what I mean, a regular heartbeat or high blood sugar or what, you know, don't read into that. I'm not saying those are my things, but if you ever had something like that, like a bump on your side or something, mm-hmm. you don't think about anything else except what that is in that moment. So take care of yourself. And also you can work endlessly, and sometimes you, especially as entrepreneurs, we love what we do. And so it becomes very easy to sometimes even just hide in your office and work when you should be playing with the kids or giving attention to your loved ones around you. So try to avoid that and make sure that they don't share the same appreciation for your love and passion. But that's how I try to do it, is just keep a conscious mind. And also try to tie to, you know, bigger purpose things like faith and things like that allows you to help serve others. And those are things I've discovered later in life here. That I wish I would have had the maturity to discover earlier in life. I think that would have made, as they say at our faith place, that it would have made me better at life and life better for me. So anyway, that's some kind of balance between those three.
Hey, Thomas. Oh, by the way, can I call you Tom, or you prefer to go by Thomas?
You can call me Tom, but I will tell you why I go by Thomas.
Okay.
It's to be as pretentious as possible to offset my charming personality.
Okay, I like that. To those that will not be seeing you, I think you are charming. So, I like that. You on your website, Instantly Relevant, you said you have a secret sauce. For me, I want to learn about that secret sauce. That's the secret sauce to lead generation. Can you give us an overview of that four steps to generate leads according to your website?
Sure. I mean, it costs you $10,000 a month just for you. That's your special price. No, so it's actually, we actually teach people how to do this themselves. So it's the secret to see in it is in the execution and in the thinking. And the idea that I absolutely know you can't scale it as an individual, and it's not a core competency of most pieces. So I have no problem telling people what we go do, and it's specific to LinkedIn, that or social media, say, as kind of one of the core. But I want to just take a step back. When you see lead generation, a lot of people think it's get a list, validate it, run it through No Bounce or something, so you can send them a bunch of cold emails and hope your email doesn't get disconnected for spam. Like a lot of people think that that's it. That's probably the last tactic that we use when we do lead generation, because, and I want to be very clear, if you had a list of 5,000 people and you blast email them out, or you even do very customized using technologies, we've tried them all, and maybe 100 people raise their hand and says, yeah, I like that. You got to realize you just spam 4,900 people. And so your brand is super important, because you can only do that so many times until it just kind of fades away. Top brands don't spam, if you've ever noticed that. You don't see Tiffany's or Nike or Porsche or anybody else. They're not lighting up, you know, or anything you're interested in, right? IBM, like, you don't see them lighting up your inbox with just nonsense. Like, they're really good and careful about it. So take your brand even where you are and make sure you're not spamming, as lead generation, most places have it. That being said, the secret sauce is in how we approach the problem.
Okay.
I know specifically, I'm just going to use LinkedIn as the example. We don't do ads. We do all inbound effect. And we do this by, first of all, by giving. And so my teams do about 1,000 comments a week on other people's posts. And it's not just anybody, it's the targeted list. Now, what I'm describing is exactly what we go do for other companies. So we get a list of personas that we can look through Sales Navigator or whatever else. Let's say like the CEO of the United States, maybe a founder, a company, 100 people, or, you know, 100 to 50. Maybe recently funded, et cetera, geography driven. And we'll look at their posts. The team will do comments on them and do ask a neat question, and they'll do a way to draw attention to, say, your profile or my profile. And people will connect in with me. Then the other part of that is making sure that my profile is set up for a very clear understanding of what I do and how I can help them. And if they have the need, why they should contact me. So if you go to my profile on LinkedIn, you'll see this is generate more leads. It'll have a statement about I generate leads for entrepreneurs and this and that. And it'll also give you where and why to go, which is, says the best meeting of your week. So you go click that and you set, that's the call to action. It didn't send you to a website. it sent you to me. Now, if you go to our website, it checks out. That's the other component. You have landing pages that check out. It reinforces. So when people start checking you out, we start doing outreach, when you start doing these comments and you get people interested in you because you gave them something first, you have to make sure that other stuff is also set up, which is often called marketing, which is your landing page, website, your profiles, your logos, your brand statements, your value proposition, your system, if you have one, your unique selling propositions. They all need to be in place, but it's how you get the people to interact with you is the secret sauce. And that's how you approach the problem of how people think and how people actually want to be interacted with, and not how you think, you know, you should, or you've been told to, which is we do this, we do that. Fill in the blank. No one wants to get weed on.
So I think you've really highlighted a very important point that many people may not know. I like the way you put it. The first thing is that your team, they are very, very deliberate and targeted. So they will try to interact with the right personas, the right customers. By commenting on their posts, they can now redirect them or ask questions that will get the other people to be interested in their profile. Hopefully they will go and look at their profile. And with that, maybe they will begin to, you know, want to get more curious and want to learn more about what you do. And I think that's a very, very good step. Now, let me ask you, is there a way you can use technology? You are the AI nerd, right? How can you use technology to know the right audience or the right set of customers that you need to target so that, you know, you can start building that relevant audience or customer, as the case may be?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. So at the core of what that secret sauce we were talking about, and that's the maybe top layer of how, then in the details and minutia of where it gets exciting and where it becomes a differentiator for us is, you know, we've been using OpenAI for almost 3 years now, maybe 2.5 years. So that's ChatGPT, that's the playground. So we've have high familiarity with creating content and using it for branding and messaging. And you could also use these technologies to be advocates or devil's advocates. So they can take the role of a customer, they can take the role of an angry customer, they can take a role of an interested customer or a competitor. And you can ask questions back and forth with these technologies to really get an insight of your brand and what you should be saying and how you should say it. So that's a way you can use those technologies to understand your strategy and your brand and your systems in place to see how a customer might interact with that. That's one example. Another is you can leverage it, obviously, to create content, improve that content, use the right tonality. You could actually digest some of the posts and content from your prospective customers and ask these technologies to give a perspective on tone, seriousness, what kind of writing would probably be most appealing to this type of persona. And you can then create content that's more like that. That way, when people read it, they can more mirror with it. This is why I don't mind telling people how to do it, because I know it's not scalable for a single person who's trying to run a business to go do this. And a lot of marketing people don't quite get it yet because of some of the technology pieces behind it. And so it's there. And even then, you still need a team to deliver some things behind that with images and everything. But that's how you start using this tech. You start using this tech to think. And you use it to go create content after you thought. So anybody can create content, but if you're just creating content without the thinking pieces first, it's not going to go very well. It's just going to be flat because you're going to be out competing against people who are already thinking. So use the technologies to go back to my original piece of automation, right? To accelerate what you're doing, not replace what you're doing. So think through the problems. Think how you can leverage the technologies more specific. And how you can leverage them specifically to just accelerate your day. And that could be from your scheduling. That could be from, you know, note-taking on video and audio for training for sales, to creating your content, to thinking through your strategies, any of it, you know, pricing models. Leverage technology to accelerate. And here's the thing. It's probably not your core tech, your core competency. So once you recognize there's a benefit, then go find a partner to help you accelerate that, who knows what they're doing as a core competency, because that's when you'll really get scale.
So that's a very good point that you just made, because ChatGPT, you said you've been using it for 2 years. I became aware of ChatGPT when Microsoft bought a stake, or when they acquired the OpenAI, right? And it's been crazy recently. Everyone, we now talk about AI, and I think it's changing our ways of life. And I also like what you said. It's not to replace what we do, but to accelerate us. And I think that's a very, very good point. Now, there are people like me out there. They may not know how to interact and use this tool. Maybe you can share with us one or two things that you feel or you know that people are missing when it comes to using AI tool, specifically ChatGPT.
Well, first of all, just don't be afraid of it. The reason it's gotten so, you know, like 100 million users in a month or whatever the record is, is because of the ease of use and the conversational nature of the chat. And so they could have done a number of ways they could have done this, but they made it very easy. So just go in there and talk to it like it's a person and ask it very specific questions and get in the details and talk about your emotions of how you want to, and work through it of what you're trying to discover in life, not just with content creation, just with business or with life or whatever, and interact with it because it's incredibly well-trained and it's only getting better. That's where I'd say is just try and then see how you could integrate that with accelerating things you don't like doing, which might be writing hard emails to customers or the follow-up email after a proposal sent, or how to, you know, position your show, let's say for a podcast, for a sponsorship, whatever it is, or, you know, maybe it's a new product or service you're bringing, you're going to have it at your physical location of what do I say on the sign? I only want to be like 18 words. It'll do, and you can give it, you know, 25,000 words parameters and say, hey, give me 18 words on what I just sent you. It'll do it. And so, you know, just go play with it. And then when you recognize I want to go do this with it, but I don't think I have the time or knowledge, then that's when you go find an expert that in the space that really knows what to go do with it. But definitely go try first. Because otherwise you're going to be at the mercy of who you think is the expert without having the reference of what you thought it could or couldn't do.
No, that's good. Now I think you wrote an article about the dawn of a new marketing normal. I want you to touch on that and compare it with the traditional or maybe Fortune 500 marketing mindset, because that's something, again, that's maybe today there may be some differences. So can you try to close the gap and explain the two to us?
I can't. Are you sure I wrote it or did an AI?
Well, your name was there.
I'm not going to answer that question. That's the point. I will tell you the dawn of the new marketing era. I will give you my current perspectives on it. So this is what it is. And we say we try to eliminate the, you know, time suck and financial sinkhole of traditional marketing. And what I find in larger organizations, that marketing tends to be very good at producing other marketing people. And so they're very good at replicating and creating people to go do things. And it's not a very scalable model. And the mindset, I think, oftentimes in marketing of a big, larger organization, and they need these sometimes, but they use a lot of technology, sometimes very lightly. So you might have this giant HubSpot installation, but it's not being used fully. And you might have a whole Salesforce thing and a lot of disparate technologies, a lot of people doing multiple things and overlay. So a lot of inefficiencies is what I see a lot of times in the larger, and they measure everything to the nth degree. And a lot of it is just to sometimes justify their own jobs or push the results or lack of results down the field to sales or product or something else. So there's a lot more positioning and politicalness and jockeying of their people's roles and positions and numbers just so they can keep jobs. And that's just massively inefficient and just really a giant waste of money that no medium, small business, whatever it can ever sustain or want to perform. But they can see it happening as their companies get bigger. So as the companies get bigger, they start seeing this waste in marketing and people are kind of, and it begins there. My take on it is leverage your core competencies in your company and go get as many capital dollars to support that and leverage a very small forward-thinking marketing team or person to leverage partners in the space that really know what the hell they're doing that are also on your full-time employment books, meaning a service that might be month to month or yearly or quarterly that's designed to go do a specific functions of marketing for you really well as an expert and make them drive the value of that. That way you have an expense that you know is coming, you know that you can get rid of at any point, and you know they're accountable as a team as opposed to just you've hired all these individuals and you're hoping that whole thing comes together. Go hire expertise buckets to help drive components. I think a small and medium business that do that will get more firepower, that will use better technology use, have less operating capital expense towards marketing, and they will get way more out of it because they will have a core person at their team maybe leading it, and then they have a bunch of people and teams that are supporting it that know what the hell they're doing
So, in terms of your approach to marketing, is there a difference or maybe a big difference between when you are marketing B2B versus B2C?
Yeah, there, well, B2B and B2C would be, you're still selling to people. To the end of the day, like a company's not actually buying it. There might be a group or a committee on a B2B play. And in your product type, like if you're selling, let's say, I don't know, healthcare product like a skin and beauty or something like that, or whatever it would be. And it's something where you don't really need contact. You just need good information on the site. You need good product. You need frequently asked questions, your return policy, et cetera, et cetera. Here's how you buy it. Put your information in. It's drop shipped and it's gone. There's no humans touching that process potentially, right? It's just it's there. That B2C requires good landing pages, good copy, good brand messaging, imagery, all that piece. Very likely is anybody going to take that company brand and go look up the founder on LinkedIn and go look at their profiles and. They might, but typically it's in the moment in the product page, go buy it, that B2C, high volume. The flip side of that B2B, where you have potentially, let's say, a founder, owner, key individuals, you have a longer sales cycle, maybe you're selling services or even a SaaS, but it's a bigger play. They're going to start checking out people around that company because it's a longer sales cycle. So this is where your profiles on LinkedIn, let's stay there because a B2B typically plays itself towards LinkedIn more than say like a Meta or something else like a TikTok. But they're going to be checking out the company, the posts, what the brand is. And then the biggest motivator on B2B and especially larger ticket items is that the person that's going to maybe come buy from you doesn't want to get fired for hiring you. They don't want to pick the wrong tech. They don't want to pick the wrong service. So you better check out. If you're not an Accenture, KPMG, IBM, big company, you're up against them losing their job for picking you as a boutique or some other kind of service if you're a smaller company. So know that you have to be even more focused and more professional and more aware and more and relevant to them than you're going to be against your competitors, especially if you want to charge, market prices. That's the difference is in the moment, landing pages, let's go do ads and let's get all that right versus a much bigger play of how does everyone check out? What's the executive eminence? How does people feel? What do they post? Completely different kind of a model.
Okay, so how do you set up a content marketing campaign? Or maybe can you explain what is content marketing? Let's start from
Great question. That's so evolving. I'll tell you how you set up anything around creating content. You start with the goal in mind, the end in mind. You know,
there.
it's I want to become this, I want my product to be known as that. You have to have some type of goal. Let's call it 12 months out. Just some kind of short range goal, or that's a pretty short goal, but where you can think to do that, I'll have to do these, things over the next 12 months. And to do that, I'll have to stop doing this. I'll have to start doing this. I'll have to meet these people. So you start with the goal in mind and back into, do you have the network? What's your personal brand look like? What's the company brand look like? Do you have the services and processes in place? Do you have all the things that are in place where the answer is yes, yes, no, no, whatever. You have to go make sure you're filling those gaps in because the content you create is then going to be targeted towards that ideal customer profile that you've determined that you want to sell to or be like 12 months from now. Because the things you need to discover is not writing what you do, but more in the context of sharing of information of how you solve problems in that industry. And so people are looking at your brand and your personal brand and company brand as a value add solving, I trust you. People buy from who they know, like, and trust is what the people always say. I don't believe it's actually enough. People will only buy from you if you're relevant and they know, like, and trust you. And what we try to do is think through that path, create the right content that becomes relevant faster. That way people get to know, like, and trust you. And then when they're ready to buy, you've already established relevance and you've held the relevance through that cycle. There's nowhere else they would need to go buy because you know, like, trust you, and you're relevant. You always have been.
Is there any?
Tying that around
Yeah,
or you're instantly.
I like the way you explain it, but is there any way to establish that relevance that, hey, this is what people are looking for, and this is how I can package myself, so that they will see me as a go-to person?
Yeah, absolutely. So all those things described of what you would become, where it is, and all the assets you need to be behind it between your posts, your comments, your blogs, your articles, the videos you create, images you use, the brand statements, all those things have to be around what you offer as a service and how it solves that problem to be relevant. And what you'll discover along the way is your offerings will change because the relevance factor isn't there where you thought it was, or it's really kind of more over here towards this demographic. And so you know, or this population, if you will. And so you have to adjust your branding slightly, your messaging slightly, your tonality, your use cases, as you see where where you actually are relevant based on a number of factors. Maybe it's how you look, how you talk, where you live, your background, whatever it is, your network. That's where I think a lot of entrepreneurs fall down, is they're just so bent on where they think they should have gone. They forget to look where the targets, you know, if you're a ship at sea and you were chasing a light, there are currents that will move you out of that direction. Sometimes you got to just change your course a little bit to keep heading at that beacon of light, which would be your customer, and to be relevant, you better be able to navigate that and not be blind by, no, we're going this way. So there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot there. And that's the kind of piece that I think is really exciting, is knowing how to put that together and having teams that know how to really think through that. Because I assure you, it's not a core competency of most business owners. It's the worst ones are the ones that think they know it all. You're like, you'll never scale if you know it all.
I don't disagree with you there, Thomas. So as we are wrapping up, I want to wonder, you know, when we started, you mentioned something about why am I doing this? So I want to understand you. What's your motivation behind starting your business, Instantly Relevant?
Oh, because I've never been promoted. So I just keep getting laid off every time I take a job. And I was like, you know what? I might as well just start a company that happens to be true. Happens to also be in the name of the book I'm writing, which is called Never Been Promoted. Anyway, we'll get into that later. No, I love it. So I love this. I love problem solving. And I particularly like being on the side of entrepreneurship where I serve an answer to the customers. I'm not one who does really good having a boss, but not that I'm mean, just to be clear. I just prefer to chase my own dreams and help other people. I have a passion for entrepreneurs and helping them chase their dreams too. And if you can monetize that for yourself and at the same time help them build their business, that's a perfect, cheesily, you know, synergistically win-win-win, whatever consultancy languagey we could throw in there. But I really like that model where everyone in the equation is winning. Okay. Your customer, your customer's customers, all of it, right? And that's what we look for. And so I enjoy those setups. I like the interactions of meeting other founders and how they think. That's exciting. I don't feel like I work any day. I come down here and it's usually like, oh, it's five again. Oh, it's Friday again. It's like, oh, I still have so much more I need to do, but I don't look at it as work. So finding that passion makes it very easy for me to kind of dive in and do this. And it just happens to fit my persona to think through marketing kind of customer related.
That's awesome. Thomas, you mentioned passion and at the same time solving problems, and that is very, very important. I like what you mentioned about never been promoted. I was thinking of writing a book about how to get promoted, but I like
mine will not get you promoted. As I've gone through this journey, Never Been Promoted is about the unraveling, unbounding, and unleashing your entrepreneur. And it'll be neverbeenpromoted.com. And the idea is to, you know, I do executive coaching and advisement for every one of our customers. I'm bringing that part out just to be its own service, because I've actually never been promoted, but I've made it to become a chief innovation officer of almost $1 billion services company. You know, I always left, but it wasn't like, it's not like I was ever going to get promoted, because my mindset was like, it's not there. And having an entrepreneur mindset made me successful in my career, though I never was promoted. And I think there's people who either need to learn that mindset to become promoted or to get out and become their entrepreneur. But if you're stuck in the middle, you won't go anywhere. And that's what I'm writing the book about, is all those challenges, how you feel, all the fears you'll have, the things you'll need to do, like understand the difference between cash flow and profitability. There's two different things there, right? Like all the details that you're going to have to work through, and emotions you're going to feel, and the people you're going to have to leave in your life, the people you're going to leave behind or start meeting. It is a ride. And even if you work for somebody or you're on your own as an entrepreneur, those same principles apply to success. And that's what that book's about, is unleashing that entrepreneur inside you, no matter what the environment you're in.
Awesome. I like it. So as we are going to close now, is there any message you would like to leave for my audience?
I mean, I will give them the throwaway question that we always get, right? It's this, that. Go to instantlyrelevant.com, check it out. Our site could always be better, so don't judge it, but that's okay if you want to. But if you want to get in touch with me, I offer two things. One, if you're on instantlyrelevant.com and you say, contact me or chat now, you'll get one-on-one time with me right now. You'll get 30 minutes. The other way is I'll give you my personal cell phone. You can text me. If you've made it to this part of the podcast and you text me, I will make sure that I will give you some special content and advisement and workshop that you can only get if you text me. So it's 314-954-6900. Do not call because I won't pick up numbers I don't know. But if you text me to that 314-954-6900, I will, and you say, I saw you on this show, I will make sure that I give you something extra. But you only figure it out if you can text me.
Awesome, Thomas. Thank you very much for being generous, for sharing that with us. 314-954-6900. And you guys can also find Thomas on LinkedIn and as well as on instantlyrelevant.com. I'm going to leave all his links on my show notes so that you guys can connect with him. Hey, Thomas, it's been awesome. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right.